We've been joined now by Kelly Reddy Best, an assistant professor in the Department of Apparel, Events, and Hospitality Management, or AWESOME, as they like to be called at ISU. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And you've brought two students with you, Brandon Spencer.
Thank you for having me.
And Crystal Davenport.
Thanks for being here.
There's an exhibit at Ames Library that I went to this weekend and checked it out, and it emerged from a course that Dr. Reddy Best taught this semester at ISU, and in which Brandon and Crystal were students, and they're here to tell us more about that so people can go and see it and hear about the presentation that's going to accompany it. Tell us first about the course. How did this course originate?
Yeah, so the course is called Black Lives Matter, Fashion, Liberation, and the Fight for Freedom. And it really started because Brandon came to me and was interested in learning about topics around Black identity and dress and the relationship between politics and history. And so at first we were going to think about a research project that might just have been a research project, but then it turned into this idea mm-hmm. of being a whole class. Mm-hmm. And so he had been, there's this opportunity in our college as well to do a research internship for undergrads. And so I said, all right, well, let's apply for this. And then he applied, and it's pretty selective, and he got it. And so then that's when it really began last summer. And Brandon and I worked together, and he worked out some of the parts of the literature review that really contributed to some of the readings for the class, and then also to the exhibition as well. So it really started last summer when Brandon really took leadership, I would say, and I just helped him figure out some of the details. And then we, you know, had it approved by the department chair, and she was really supportive. And so then we created this new class.
And what was the name of the course?
So the course is actually
the
name.
Title?
Yeah, it's the name of the exhibition. And so, yeah. And so we kind of decided that it made most sense to have the course and the exhibition title be the same.
Brandon, what got you interested in this, or what motivated you to bring this idea up?
Well, I feel like there's something deeper, you know, to look at. And so I wanted to really focus on the correlation of, you get what I'm saying, the identity of, you know, these individuals who are unarmed and, you know, have been shot by the police, and like focusing on the movement, and not just the movement as like what it's seen on social media, but really like the power that it has, and really like trying to understand that power.
And you're a student in the Department of Apparel, Events, and Hospitality Management, yes?
Yes.
So you saw also a connection between apparel and some other aspects of identity with the Black Lives Matter movement?
Yes, like with the t-shirts, like the I Can't Breathe or Hands Up, Don't Shoot. It was a form of, how do you say, a form of, you know, supporting the movement without, you know, being able to protest or being able to, you know, be out there with everybody else, but still saying like, you know, hey, like I'm standing up for the same thing.
In the exhibit, there is a focus on clothing, on apparel, but that's not all that the course ended up looking at. So we'll talk about the different parts of it in a minute.
All the students each developed their own topic and curated it around that idea. And so then the students really had a lot of say in the exhibition. And so I, you know, put some parameters, but they each could curate their own topic related to the idea of Black Lives Matter, Fashion, Liberation, and the Fight for Freedom. And they could think about ways that, you know, outside of the movement as well. And so just thinking about the ways that identity and dress, you know, have a relationship between politics, and how can we communicate that. And I also, you know, said, think about the way we're talking to a broader audience, and we wanted to make sure that we wanted to expand beyond the campus. And mm-hmm. so we were looking at different spaces, and we then, you know, Brandon and I were, and that was also part of Brandon's internship over the summer, was to think about where can we display this, and how can we have a big impact, and how can we educate the public about the relationship between appearance and identity and politics and Black identity and resistance. And and then we came up with the Ames Public Library, and so all the students definitely had a big say in everything as we were developing it.
Crystal, why did you want to take the course?
Well, my primary reason that I took it was really because Brandon created the idea for the course. But also, like, Black Lives Matter, and, you know, the fact that they incorporated fashion into the class just made it all the more interesting, because I feel like that's not something that people really thought about, was the fact that fashion is used as a form of resistance in the Black community.
So let's talk about the actual exhibit now. There are five panels, and you use the word curate. Can you explain to our listeners what curate means?
So each student's took a topic and they developed a research question. And so in the course, we learned about history or historic method and cultural studies methods. And so all in one semester, which is a lot. It's a lot to do in one semester, especially for students who have never really had a research methods or introduced to that idea. Like, what does it mean to create new knowledge? And so, you know, I taught them through the readings about, like, how do we understand new knowledge, or how do we come to these ideas? And so they each then developed a research question and then curated a theme. And so they answered the research questions in different ways. So some of them used primary sources, you know, for example, news articles or different, you know, they looked at primarily looking at news or other types of sort of more recent primary sources that you might use in history. And then some of them also did, like, interviews and other types of methods for collecting information or data. And then they each wrote up about their different topics using interpreting the primary sources. And so they curated it in the sense that they wrote about the topic. And then we also had, you know, they're putting it on this one space, 36 by 48 inches. And so we were, you know, thinking about that, you know, how do you display your topic in a non-traditional format, right? Because we didn't necessarily have a space to put objects for display. We used a two-dimensional space. And so
it had to be text and images.
Text and image-based, exactly, because of the space for which we were working within. So, but we could have easily, you know, expanded into a whole traditional museum exhibition. I would.
I see that down the road.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about the individual contributions of each student. Brandon, can you tell us about your panel?
So my panel is titled "Don't Be Alarmed, I'm Just Black and Male," Tamir, Laquan, and Alton. It speaks to three different age groups of Black men and kind of their different situations in terms of being killed by the police and being unarmed. So you have Tamir Rice, Laquan McDonald, and Alton Sterling, who come from three different areas, three different, you know, situations, yet their outcome was still the same. So really digging deeper into how they were viewed by the police and what events led up to them being shot, and kind of how their death formed into the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, and really, like, focusing on being Black and male, how are you viewed by the police, you know, so really, like, digging deeper into that.
And what did you decide to put on your display?
On my display, I decided to go into the three different individuals, go into their stories, and really explain in depth and clearly what happened to them, how they were represented in the media, and how that representation creates the connotation of Black men being feared.
Really looking at how that image and that way of positioning Black men reproduces the violence.
Yes.
Crystal, tell us about your panel.
My contribution to the exhibition was basically, like, how natural hair is, like, kind of essential to Black identity and how it's also used as a form of resistance. So my title is Natural Hair, Black Identity and Redemption. My first method of research was looking at Angela Davis and other social activists, women that were, like, involved in, like, Black Panther Party and all that different stuff, and basically used that as, like, a way to provide historical context to my research, because Angela Davis is known for her famous mugshot and, you know, her afro and her basically, like, her whole style. Like, some people, like, you know, in different news outlets and magazines were, you know, treating her as if she was a fashion icon, as if she was, like, a model, and others were, you know, criticizing her for the political stance that she had. My other method of research was I had interviewed three Black women in Ames that regularly wear their natural hair. And I chose Ames because, like, Ames and Iowa State, they're both basically, like, they're both predominantly white spaces. So black women and their natural hair tend to stand out more in these spaces. So in those interviews, I asked them questions that would dig deeper into like what their natural hair really means for them. And within those within that research, I found that there were a couple of different themes that had emerged from the responses they gave me. And one of those was self-expression. Another one was self-love. And the other one was resisting conformity. Ultimately, after, you know, conducting my research, I found it's still a very complex topic. There's still, like, a lot of different things that need to be like addressed within that whole aspect of the black identity.
And so in predominantly white spaces, just wearing your hair in a particular way, a more natural way, or a way that doesn't, to use your word, conform in those predominantly white spaces, just that act of wearing your hair in a different way is a form of resistance. Is that the kind of the message?
It's not like a automatic, like, ooh, here I am resisting. Mm-hmm. It's more of just like a, like for me personally, growing up, I had a bit of an identity crisis. Getting like older into college and stuff like that, that's when I started my natural hair journey. And since then, I just felt more of myself. I feel like I'm in tune with myself more. So it's like when I'm in spaces with other people, like, that are different from me, or, you know, look different than me, it's like I don't feel uncomfortable because I don't look like them, and nothing's really gonna persuade me to change my look to look like them.
And some of the other parts of the exhibit took historical perspectives, as Crystal mentioned in hers. One talked about body position and celebrities. They had images of Tommy Smith and John Carlos at the 1968 Olympics, and then kind of with that, Colin Kaepernick and LeBron James. Can one of you talk about that panel?
Yeah, that was by Dais Matthews, and she looked at the relationship between how, looking at the power of how celebrities today and in the past have used their platforms to support different black political movements. So she had some of the early examples, and then, you know, looking today at individuals such as Colin Kaepernick, and, you know, how sometimes, and again, she, you know, found that it was sometimes folks used their body position, right? So taking a knee, putting a fist in the mm-hmm. air, versus other folks who used pretty overt fashion representation, you know, through t-shirt slogans. And then also folks who use, and, you know, looking at Beyonce, for example, at the Super Bowl, you know, really overtly referenced the Black Panther
Speaking
Party
Black Panthers,
representation.
Yeah.
And so we looked at all those kinds of examples throughout our readings in the class as well. And so looking at the relationship that fashion or appearance has, a really powerful message, and, you know, and the ways that it can be used. And she really looked at how celebrities use their platform today and over time.
And another one looked at merchandising, selling Black Lives Matter t-shirts and so on. What was that one about?
Well, that was by Katrine Cadman,
yeah.
Katrine Cadman, and it focused on kind of like the whole t-shirts and the merchandise of the Black Lives Matter movement, and really focusing on where your money is going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you supporting the movement, or are you just buying into this kind of like just
commercialization?
Trend, really, because,
yeah,
you know, like just fake support. And so really, like, mm-hmm. you know, where is your money going? Because that is important to know.
Mm, yeah.
You know, like, that is something really important to know. And sometimes it's kind of easier to, like, not really think about it and just, like, you know, I have a good heart in what I'm doing, but you need to know.
And it showed an example of a company that sells Black Lives Matter t-shirts, where it's just a private company making money, and then another one where that money goes to activist work. And I think we've mentioned now four of the people who had panels. We should maybe mention the fifth one.
Yeah, absolutely. So Daryl Civils. We wanted an introduction and sort of just a brief history of the movement, because
mm-hmm.
so, we're in the Ames Public Library, and we wanted to be sure to tell our audience, give them an introduction. And so we had decided, as we were discussing who was going to do each topic or what topic they were going to do, Daryl had volunteered to give us an introduction to sort of the history of the movement and how it has evolved over time. And so that's what Daryl had provided for us. And so his is second in the series, because we had also, with Brandon's idea, the class really as well, we wanted to make sure that we honored the folks who were unarmed and who were killed. So we have a sort of a shrine poster that's first, and it just lists many
all
of the names,
yeah.
Right, of folks.
Right, not all, many.
Right, just, and mm-hmm. right. And so we try to make that really clear that it's just some of the people, and it's very small font, and it's fills the whole poster. And so while we're looking at these intersections between fashion and appearance and the movement, it's really why we're there, is to talk about and to think through why these folks who are unarmed and who are Black are killed by police brutality.
That brings me to my next question, which is, why did you think it was important not just to have the course and do this learning and thinking yourselves, but to bring something to the public? What do you hope people take away from this exhibit?
I hope people take away truly understanding the movement, because I feel like from my experience here at Iowa State, a lot of people don't fully understand the movement who aren't Black, you know, and I know that's kind of just like plain and simple, but I really want people to understand the movement, understand it's more than just protesting, because it seems as though people get comfortable and get used to like, oh, you know, it's steady happening. Oh, it's like, you know, it's on social media all the time. So I feel like really presenting this from like many different standpoints and many different, like, you know, areas of it, from the way, like, you know, positioning and with celebrities, and then like looking at the merchandising and looking at natural hair, and then really breaking down individual aspects of those who have been killed. It really like breaks down like, this is why it's important, and really like educating the public. So, like, that's the main goal that we want people to take away from this. Like, yes, it's a nice exhibit in the Ames Foley Library, but it is there to fully educate and to fully show you and make you aware of why this is important and why it is needed and why we need to, like, really come together and, like, really stop some of these things.
And the exhibit is there now, and then there's a presentation tomorrow night. Can you tell us about that?
Sure.
They're looking to their professor.
Yeah, so we have an opening for the exhibition, and it runs from 6 to 8. And from 6 to 7, we have the students will be standing by each of their individual contributions. And so they'll be there to interact and answer questions and educate and talk to folks about what they did. And then from 7 to 8, they'll each do a 5-minute presentation, and they'll talk about some of the work that they've done. And then we will have some time for questions at the end.
So that's Tuesday, December 4th, and it starts at 6?
At 6 p.m., and it's just in the lobby.
In the lobby.
So the exhibition is right when you walk in, and then the presentation will be in the large auditorium that's in the library.
All right, so people can stop by any time to look at the panels, but if they want to hear firsthand from the students who helped develop the course and then develop the exhibit, they can come tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for letting us know about it, and hopefully people will go and check it out, and you'll make a step toward your goal of educating people about Black Lives Matter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.